Hello and welcome to the people behind your food. I'm Chef Ryan Callahan and I'm here with my very good friend Bryn from at Storybook Tales. She is quite famous in the world these days. She's almost as famous as I am. I mean, you know, she may have three times as many followers as I do, but I'm still better known. Is that notorious? Is that really the word? You know, notorious? No, I'm just kidding. So anyways, so let's just start with, you know, like I always like to do, we're going to start with the getting to know you part of the interview. You know, who are you? What do you want to do? And, you know, what kind of person are you? So, one of the things you do and is you work in the restaurant industry, right?
Yes.
Okay. So that's how you pay your bills, I assume?
Yes.
Mostly, kind of,
mostly.
Something.
Me and my husband. My husband does not work in the restaurant industry. I think he would die of a heart attack or stress if he tried to work in the restaurant industry. We had to do a volunteer thing where we were just helping out at a small restaurant
sure.
in our small town where we went to college. And I walk in for my shift and I'm going to eat beforehand because literally all we had to do was get stuff off tables and take food to tables and wipe things down. That was about it. And he's just standing there like, and I'm just like, just go.
Which one's table 14? It's the first row of the fourth table. Unless it's a different restaurant, and then it's the second row, the fourth
table. Well,
they
had numbers on the table.
Oh, that's even better.
So, like, but he was just like, I don't like this. I was just like, go.
I seem like I'm on the spot here. This is too much pressure. I'm going to have to go.
He works behind the scenes.
Okay, yeah, okay. So, so you work in the restaurant industry, and then you also do cosplay, which
yes.
is super awesome. So, let's get to know you and what kind of person you are here. On the people behind your food. I really wish I had some exciting action music. Da, 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 da.
Like the animation where they
yeah. go. Maybe like a spinny graphic.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, so I'm going to shoot you some rapid fire questions. So what is your favorite Disney character?
Merida.
Okay. What is your favorite movie of all time?
Brave.
Okay. What is your favorite anime you've ever seen?
Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Okay. Your favorite music, you could be style or group?
Show tunes or Weird Al Yankovic.
Both of which are very acceptable answers around here. Okay, are you a cash person or are you a card person?
Well, before I was a manager, it was mostly cash. But that was because I wasn't married. So I just carried cash on me. But now it's card because of, like, rewards and stuff. Like,
sure.
I just got a Disney credit card so because I'm going to Disney in December. So I figured I might as well take advantage of that. So now it's a card thing.
I got to get the points.
Exactly. I mean, it's worth it.
So your favorite ice cream, what is that?
Coconut Joy.
Okay. What's your favorite food?
Crab legs.
Dogs or cats?
Both.
Oh, dogs and cats?
Like, yes.
What about a cat-dog mixture? Would that
no.
be the dream?
I have one of each.
Okay.
So.
And then where'd you grow up in the world?
St. Louis.
St. Louis, Missouri, USA?
Yep.
Okay. Not St. Louis, Missouri, France. What?
No, it's St. Louis, Missouri, Florida.
Yeah, St. Louis, Missouri, Florida. Right. Okay. So I think we've gotten a really good idea of who you are as a person, like your base personality. So you're a cosplayer. Tell me about your life as a cosplayer. Tell me what that's like.
So I always wanted to be a princess at Disney World.
Mm-hmm.
I'm 1 inch too tall.
Okay.
So I had done a college internship at Disney World, and then I came back and I was like, fine, you know what? Fine. I'm going to do it myself. I'm going to just do it myself. And so I bought an Elsa costume, like a cheap Elsa costume.
Sure.
And I went to the children's hospital and started visiting children as Elsa. And that's what I did for a really long time. And then the live-action Beauty and the Beast movie was coming out.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, you know what? I'm going to dress up as Belle and go watch the movie dressed as Belle. And so I did that. And then I was kind of like dormant for a while. And then I kind of started getting back into it because I realized that I really liked it. And I was like,
yeah.
Okay, no, yeah, I really want to keep doing this. And so then it kind of like started snowballing in 2018, and that's when I really like got into cosplay.
Okay.
And now I have a bunch more costumes and plans. Way too many plans. Just too many cosplans.
I like plans. let me touch on something here that you hit that's really piqued my curiosity. You are too tall to be a princess. Is that like I didn't realize there's a role like a fighter jet. You know, like someone who flies fighter jets, you have to be between like 5'6" and 5'10". Like
my husband's too tall to be that. That's what he wanted to do.
Oh, he wanted to be a
fighter. Yeah.
A life of disappointment. Yeah. This is what we're finding on our investigative journalism here.
He has terrible eyesight, so that
doesn't help. Oh, yeah, that doesn't help. Yeah. I want to be a fighter pilot. I'm just the right size. I'm a little too fat. Oh, and I got bad eyes, too. So you got into cosplay because you wanted to be a princess. Now, I was always told growing up that every girl is a princess and you should treat them like that.
Yes.
Is that something that you believe as well?
I mean, they have the potential to be.
Is there like etiquette lessons? Like,
no,
how do you...
I just mean like some people don't act like it.
Sure.
Like, they're mean.
Oh, they're mean. Okay. So you can't be mean and be a princess.
But right. If you're going to be a Disney princess, if you watch all the Disney princess movies,
sure,
they're kind and encouraging and they're not mean and they're not the stepsisters.
Sure.
They're Cinderella, not the stepsisters. I mean.
By the way, let's talk about that for a second. Did you ever notice that, like, okay, so you see the stepsisters as a kid, and then everyone's getting divorced, and all you could think about, like, I could think of, oh my god, I'm gonna get a stepsister, and she's gonna be evil. Like, well, there's never this thought that, like, oh, I'd have a stepsister, and she'd be good. Like,
right.
Is that something you went through?
Well, like, not really. Because I was just one of those people who were like, no, my mom and dad love each other, they're never gonna get divorced. Just, like,
sure,
that mentality. Like,
yeah.
So, like, and I had a really nice childhood. I never really had to worry about that. Sure, they got into fights, but, like, they were fine the next day. They made up, so it wasn't a worry that they were ever gonna get divorced, because they always worked through their problems.
So. That probably explains why you're so much more well-balanced and confident than I am in
plus,
your personality.
I have three younger siblings, so
oh, well, that'll
I kinda
do it. Okay.
Had to be a mom.
Yeah, no, I get that. So, so we kind of touched on the next question, which was, of course, what inspired you to do cosplay? It was because you were oppressed.
I was too tall.
You were too tall.
Too tall.
The height oppression. And
yes.
So then you started doing it. And so you said that you do the dress up for the kids, at the
yeah.
hospitals.
So I started that back in like 2016. I started going and visiting mm-hmm. hospital. The hospital is Elsa. And then, I've been doing that for a while. And then, back in February of 2018, I joined a group called the Gateway Guardians.
Mm-hmm.
And they are a group who dresses up as superheroes and princesses and goes to different charity events. And I met them because one of their members works with my dad, and she and my mom were talking about it at a Christmas party, and I got invited into the group. And it's really expanded my arsenal, because, like, I used to just, like, I only had Disney princesses. That's
sure.
all I had. But then I needed a superhero, so I put together a superhero costume for them. So now I have a Supergirl costume. And then I wanted to do something else, so I had Rey now. And then once I started getting cosplay friends, that started growing as well. So now I have just a big variety. And it was like a nice, like, segue into getting more, like, doing anime stuff and TV show and movie stuff rather than just Disney princesses.
So being able to network was really important for you in your cosplay, because it not only built, it sounds to me like it not only built your ability to do stuff by talking to people, but networking also helped build your confidence, it almost sounds like.
Well, it was more, I just didn't want to cosplay anything else other than Disney, because I was like, I wanted to be a Disney princess, so I might as well get all these Disney princess outfits.
Sure.
But then I started meeting people and they kind of like opened my eyes to, mm-hmm. oh, you can literally cosplay anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I can cosplay anything.
I mean, I've seen like, you know, big hairy dudes doing Sailor Moon, so.
Yeah, I mean,
it's a little mildly disturbing,
like,
but.
I have recently done two male cosplays, and I'm actually in a group where I'm a male in the group.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's cool to, like...
Yeah.
And then you get to experiment with makeup and stuff like that, so I've gotten really good... Like, just in the past year, I've gotten a lot better at makeup and, like, contouring. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what contouring was, like, because I was just like, oh, you put the foundation and the blush on, and you're done. Like, now I do my eyebrows, now I can contour. Like,
yeah.
So it's interesting, like, just opening my eyes, and you can change your face shape with contour, which
sure.
is really cool. Like, I can make myself look like I have a rounded face.
Right.
Or I have really elongated cheekbones.
Yeah.
Or I look like a dude. Like,
right.
So it's really interesting finding, like, just discovering all these things where you can, like, recently I just got my first body paint set, mm-hmm. and I painted my face and neck pink,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to do it for a character, so why
sure.
not? So it's just, it's fun to like explore with that.
So do you have any kind of a background in like theater or production or anything like that?
My entire family are actors and singers.
Oh, okay.
I was the only one who wasn't.
Sure.
I wanted to be, but I was really focused on softball. I played competitively for 18 years. Mm-hmm. But I knew I wasn't going to play after college. So recently I've started getting into acting and I've been taking singing lessons, and I was in a play back in musical back in November. And so I've been getting more into that recently. So
that's cool, because it seems to me that the cosplay stuff really lends itself. I always meet people, and a lot of them, you know, do it because of it builds their confidence when they're the character. Like people who may not actually have like a lot of confidence as a person naturally, but they'll do a character, and then all of a sudden they get that interaction that helps build their confidence, which is what I think is so cool about it. But so I always wonder, you know, like, well, I would think someone who was in drama or in production or backstage or props be like, oh yeah, this would be something that I should totally do. So what are some positive things that cosplaying has brought to your life?
Well, I've met a lot of new people.
Sure.
Through cosplay. I've met really good friends who I feel like I've known for a ridiculously long time, but I've only known them since March of last year. Mm-hmm. And it's really nice because I've like never really had friends to do cosplay with. That's why I really didn't do anything throughout 2017, because I didn't have anybody to do cosplay with. I was
sure.
It was just me going out and taking pictures as a princess, and that was about it. But like, I've met friends. I just trying new things, as I said, like exploring with makeup and costumes and stuff like that, and getting back into sewing. And I've met the Gateway Guardians because of the cosplay. So like, just being able to meet a lot of new people, because I'm an extremely extroverted person.
Yeah.
And I like meeting new people. So it's really easy for me to meet new people.
Is that something that extroverts like, is talking to other human beings? Is that? I don't know anything about that. I mean, this Tuesday night podcast is really just an excuse for me to talk to people. I mean, really, that's what it is. Come to my home, talk to me, you know? I want to tell your story. I mean, it's very important to tell this story. Come talk to me. So let's talk about something technical. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the different platforms. So a little background for the viewers. We met each other actually at Wizard World St. Louis Comic Con, or Wizard World Comic Con STL last year, actually, which is funny. You said you really started getting into it in 2018, because that's when I met you.
Yes.
So we were talking recently about the different platforms. Obviously, I really use Instagram. It's really good for what I do. But you've been using other platforms like TikTok, you said.
Yes.
And you said, so talk about your different platforms you're on and tell me the pros and cons of all of them.
Well, I mean, I have a Facebook page, but that was that was more just to be like, okay, this is mine. No one can take this name.
Sure.
I don't really go on Facebook a lot.
I don't know. I don't even use Facebook like at all.
And then I got on Instagram and I started growing a little bit. Mm-hmm. I've had it since March of 2017 when I started my cosplay with the Bell stuff. I've had it since 2017 and it's grown. I mean, I now have 600 something followers, mm-hmm. but I just stuff with the algorithm kind of messed up and I kind of got like bored of it, because it's just pictures, and I don't always have money to go out and do photo shoots.
Right.
And sometimes it's hard to find someone to take pictures with you, mm-hmm. like if you just want to do it on a phone. So then I had always heard of like Musical.ly and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and I was like, okay, kind of looks interesting, but it's like more just lip syncing. Then it turned into TikTok, and it started growing. Where it wasn't just lip syncing, like moving the camera funny and like doing weird transitions and stuff, but it was actually like acting through there. And so I got it back in, I think July is when I got it. And I was like, okay, I'll try this out. And like started growing. But then as I started getting into acting and stuff like that, I realized this is a really good way to practice mm-hmm. with like facial expressions and getting into character and everything like that. Cause as an actress, like, taking a picture, taking a still photo, that's nice. But, and like, yeah, you work really hard on getting the still photo perfect. But when you're doing a TikTok, like, it's 15 seconds and you have to, it's kind of like Vine where it's like you have to have really interesting content in mm-hmm. these 6 seconds or people are just going to swipe past you and not pay attention. But you got to like have creative ideas and do something that someone else hasn't done before and show them that you can actually act through the emotions. And so it's a lip syncing app, and you think it'd be really easy because you can redo it as many times as you want. There are so many people who are off with their words. I'm not even joking. Like the thing will be going and they'll be like a minute behind.
Yeah.
Or like people will like the sound will go and they'll be like, hum, hum, hum. And you're like, how? You can delete and redo. How do you not get this? Like, I don't understand. There are songs that I've never heard of before, and I just listen to it over and over and over. Like, I never knew the Fergalicious rap part, where, like, the rap part of Fergalicious.
Sure.
Now I do, because I did it for Lip Sync X, so I did it over and over and over again,
yeah.
And now I know how to do it. Like, it's not very hard. But it's obvious the people who put effort into their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And they do get rewarded on TikTok, because TikTok has a little bit of a better algorithm,
mm-hmm.
Where even if you're like don't have very many followers, you can still show up on someone's page because it has a tag that they liked.
Sure.
So it's not like, oh, more than 10% of your people have liked your thing, so we're going to show it to everyone now.
Right.
It's like you can actually see everyone's stuff.
So let's talk about your experiences in the restaurant business. So what have you done in the restaurant business? Tell our millions of adoring fans out there.
Oh, well, a little bit of everything.
Okay.
I've done family-owned restaurants. I've done corporate restaurants. I've done franchises. I've done pizza service, full service, quick service. Like, I've done a little
sideways
bit of
sideways service, upside-down service.
I've done concession stands. I think the only thing I haven't done is worked in a fast food restaurant.
It's
the only thing I have.
I've never done a concession stand, but I have worked in a fast food restaurant, so I think we're all on the same page there. So, what are you doing these days?
I am a server at a family-owned franchise,
okay.
So they have the rights to the name, mm-hmm. but the two stores here in St. Louis are family-owned.
Okay.
So he gets to decide what's on the menu, where we buy from, what we're spending,
okay.
What our specialties are, because there'll be some places, like, another place in the country where
sure.
it's, like, they're, like, say there's a store in Wisconsin. They're going to, like, promo something from Wisconsin, like cheese or something
sure, they're going to cater, so they have regional specialties.
Right. So, but we do seasonal flavors.
Okay.
So, during fall, there's pumpkin, so, mm-hmm. and then we do, different seasonal flavors.
Is that something
flavors.
People do in the fall?
I know, right?
Pumpkin spice, is that a thing?
But, we like to support local businesses, so the coffee we just switched to is a local company,
sure.
a local family-owned company, and we try and get our fruit from local family-owned companies as well.
Hmm.
But, yeah, it's a breakfast restaurant, and we make everything from scratch, the pancakes, the syrups, everything is made from scratch.
That's
and
awesome.
People get very confused when I say, no, I cannot warm up your coffee in the microwave. We don't have a microwave. They're like, what? I'm like, yeah, we make everything by hand from
I can
scratch.
Pour you fresh coffee,
yes.
but I cannot warm up this pre-established
yes,
cup.
I can get you a new cup, but I cannot.
Have you had anyone ask you to put it in a saute pan and heat it back up?
No.
That's what I would do. But of course, I would just get fresh coffee. But, you know.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're working at this family-owned restaurant that's a franchise of a larger national company, but you guys are more like a small business. That's actually really cool. That's a nice hybrid model.
Yes.
I like that. So how long would you say you've been working in the restaurant business?
8 years now. Since I could have started working,
okay.
I've worked in the restaurant industry.
So what got you involved in restaurants?
Well, I was eating out. My family always went out to lunch on Sunday after church. And we were at this restaurant, and I spilled my water. And I felt bad, so I started cleaning it up immediately. And they were like, do you want an application? I'm like, yes, please. So
I have the aptitude.
Yeah, I was like, yes, I do. And that's how I got my first restaurant job.
You know, I've hired a lot of people, and that is probably the best way that you could ever hire somebody. Yeah. It's like, look, they're doing the job already.
I know. I was like, I'm so sorry. I was like cleaning up my ice and putting it away. Because I was taught, you make a mess, you clean it up. Like, you don't just leave it for someone else to clean up.
Yeah.
But so I was cleaning up my mess, and they're like, do you want... Because it was also a family-owned
sure.
restaurant. They don't exist anymore, unfortunately.
What's a family-owned restaurant?
I know, right?
Is that a thing? So you've been working there. So what do you... So you were telling me earlier used to be a restaurant manager.
Yes.
So used to be a front of house manager, and now you're back to serving.
Yes.
So let's explore that, because someone who's never worked in the restaurant industry may see that as a step back in a career. Why'd you make that decision?
Well, I majored in business management. That's what I went to college for. And I've always loved the restaurant industry, so I figured that's what I want to go into. And so I went back to the restaurant I was working at, and it was a corporate restaurant. And I was like, I had moved my way up from busser to server by then. And I was like, I want to be a manager. How do I become a manager? And they were like, okay, well, I want you to learn all these things first. So then I learned bartending. I learned expediting. And then I was an assistant manager. And then I got booted up to salary manager. And I enjoyed it. It was really stressful, especially as a corporate manager, because there wasn't really any place to move up unless I wanted to go to corporate in a different state. So I was stuck at this salary manager position where I felt like I was only ever getting complaints. Nothing I ever did was good enough. I was super stressed. I was working late nights, long days. Like, and so it was really hard, and I was rather young, and I felt like I was kind of falling into a depression, and like, cause nothing that I used to do, I didn't want to do anything. Like I would lay in bed, cause I would get home late. I would fall asleep. I would wake up, lay in bed until I had to get ready and go to work. And my husband and I were also on opposite schedules. Like he would work 9 to 5. I would work 3 to 1 AM. So he'd be asleep by the time I got home. He'd be gone by the time I woke up. And it just kept going. There was like a week, there was multiple week and a half, like periods where I didn't see him awake because
your beautiful sleeping face.
I was just like, oh, you're asleep. I'm exhausted. Time to go to bed. Like, so it was really hard, especially since we were newly married and we're still young. So since I was so young, I wanted to get out of that. And I had always loved serving. That's what made me want to be a restaurant manager. So I figured I'm going to go back to serving, because this is why I loved this so much, and I get to interact with the people, and I get to have the positive interactions, and serving is what made me fall in love with the restaurant industry, so I'm going to go back to serving at a non-corporate restaurant.
Sure.
So that really helped, then, just going back to that and getting back to the roots of why I loved this thing.
That's actually incredibly insightful. Like, I don't think anyone could have put that more eloquently. It really is. I mean,
I've had to explain this multiple times. Oh,
why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Okay, so you're a server now, and so you left being a manager because you thought it was where you wanted to go, but you found out that's not where you belong. You know, people, that's not just unique to the restaurant industry. I find that people who are nurses, who move into like clinical research, they miss that personal touch as well. Some people are just people,
right?
Which is a weird thing to say. You're just a people, or
well,
a people
I mean, that's
person.
What I get. Like, introverts get their energy from being alone, and then they get drained when being around people.
Right.
I get my energy from being around other people.
That's
like, I
me
hate
too.
Going places by myself. When I was in college, I'd be like, "Hey, do you want to go to the store with me?" Like, I hate going places by myself. Like, if I have a day off, I'm going to ask one of my friends to come over because I want to be with someone.
Yeah.
My husband's probably working, so I need some sort of human interaction.
That's the same way that I am. I'm very extroverted. My dad used to complain because I would always have friends with me all the time. And I didn't realize that was a thing. Mm-hmm. I just thought I'm popular. So people just like me and they want to be around me. But like you said, I'm the same way. I don't like to be left alone for long periods of time. If Jesse goes off to work and I've been left alone for longer than like 3 hours, I think is my maximum, I'll be like, "When you coming home? When you coming home? Where's the dog?" Okay, I got a clingy dog, so the dog, I just put him on my lap. I'm like, "I'm okay now."
Well, like, I can like distract myself with like video games or getting into something that I'm doing, or if I'm like planning something, I can get into that and it'll distract me. But otherwise, I'm just like, I have nothing to do. And I'll just lay in bed all day because I'm like, I don't want to get up and be by myself all day. And my dog is cuddling with me.
Sure. And then you're getting that interaction you needed. So tell me the unique challenges of being a server. And I'm sure that this could be an entire like three-part episode. The expose of the people behind your food and what a server does. But tell me the unique challenges of your position.
Dealing with people.
Sure.
I know I said I'm a people person, but it's dealing with people. Like, so the place that I work now, the places that I have worked that where I've been in the full service position have been lots of people, like tons of people. People usually don't have set schedules. People are randomly in and out. Mm-hmm. Like if they need to go on a week vacation, they can because we have someone to work for them, basically.
Sure.
Like I'm used to having like 30 plus servers, then the kitchen staff as well.
Right.
But in this restaurant, there's only like about 30-ish people total.
Sure.
It's a small restaurant.
Yeah.
So you can't really ask for weekends off because weekends are the most popular days because it's a breakfast place and we close at 2:30 every day. Like, so Sundays, breakfast, yeah, people are going to be there.
Right.
The only excuse is the Super Bowl, where we got really busy in the morning and then died at noon because no one was going out. They were all planning the Super Bowl parties.
They were all at Walmart.
Yeah.
I know because I was there and they were all there too.
So having a small staff can be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But having a small staff can also be hard because when the newest person you have is has been working there for 3 years, people get comfortable, people get spoiled, people get like set in their ways, and then a new person comes in, they're like, oh, I'm gonna do this, and it's just like, oh no. So like people get, and some people get touchy about that.
Sure.
Like I'm like, okay, you do it that way, that's fine, I do it this way, whatever. Like if it's my turn to vacuum the floor, I'm gonna vacuum the floor how I do it. Like I do it very methodically, where I vacuum the rugs and then I go up the floor this way and then I go around and I go down this way. Like, but some people just go up there and just start vacuuming randomly.
Sure.
And I'm just like, what are you? Okay. Like my OCD is going crazy, but I'm not going to stop them because that's how they vacuum.
Right.
Like, but there are some people who aren't like that and they're like, no, you're doing it wrong. You have to fix this.
Right.
So, it's helpful with people who have worked there a long time and you have a lot of regulars and it's great, but some people can be a little touchy. And then there's the opposite side where you have to deal with the guests. Because when there are a lot of regulars, they're touchy as well. Or if you have new guests who don't really know how to tip or behave in a restaurant, like, there are some people who think I'm your personal slave when I'm your server. It's like, no, I have 7 tables to take care of. You are one of my 7 tables. You have to give me a minute. Like, but some people will think I've been snapped at before. I've been waved down. There was a gentleman who grabbed my elbow and dug his fingers into my bone because I didn't have his eggs right. He was like, excuse me, where are my eggs? And I was like, I'm about to smack an old man.
Can we explore this for a second? What is with, first off, eggs are disgusting. All right, let me just say that out loud to everybody. Everyone needs to know that eggs are the grossest thing. They come out of a chicken's butt. It's not even a food. It's a single cell.
Have you seen where milk comes from?
Yeah, that's fine. When you're a baby, you literally suckle on the same thing, right? This just comes out of a cow, all right? Eggs are disgusting in every possible way, right? And then we do the most ridiculous things with them. We can prepare your eggs 50 ways. You don't give people that amount of like control or selection. Have you been to the Cheesecake Factory? Have you seen their menu?
Yeah.
It is 90 pages.
I get an anxiety attack just looking at the menu.
So
I'm like, oh, salad. Okay, there.
Pick pick your 10 best items in each category and that's it.
We have a lot of food on our menu.
But I'm sorry. I would like my eggs over easy. No, I'd like them sunny side up. No, I want them over medium. I asked for my eggs over medium. Can anyone really tell the difference between over easy, over medium, and okay, I can see over hard or like fried, but like really, can really anybody tell the difference between over medium and over easy?
The only difference is the whites are done and the yellow isn't.
Sure, and I know that.
And over easy is...
I've had to cook a lot of eggs.
Right.
I know
easy
this.
Is sunny side up, just flipped over.
Exactly. And that pretty much seals the whole thing in together.
Then you're good. But
what is with our obsession with this?
Like, there's this one item that comes with... It's a kid's plate, but we let older people eat it because they can't eat very much.
Sure.
So it comes with pancakes, a scrambled egg and bacon. And you can change that. Like, we're happy to make the egg a different way.
Sure.
But this old man was not even talking to me, basically. His daughter ordered for him and didn't say he wanted his eggs poached. He wanted 3-minute poached. Again, this is, yeah.
Why are we giving people these options?
I was putting everything down, and I was literally putting down the plate, and he grabs my elbow like this, so I can't get away, and he goes, "Honey, where are my poached eggs?" And I almost lost my job that day, because I was about to smack an old man. Like,
I'm gonna knock your dentures across the room.
I can get those for you. And, like, but some people think they can treat you like that. Like, they
I'm sorry,
don't
but
understand.
Like, if you grab my elbow, I'm taking my shirt off and we're going heads up. Yeah, I'm like, what you want? What you want, dog? You want to go? We'll bang. You want to go?
The only reason nothing happened is because when I was opening that morning, I had slammed my thumb in the lemon slicer. And what happens, this is when I found this out, but when I hit nerves really hard, my mind kind of needs to reset.
Sure.
And I pass out. It has happened 4 or 5 times in my life. So I slammed this, it's stone, and you bring it down like this. And I've played softball for 18 years. I'm rather strong. So I slammed it down on my thumb and passed out and was a little woozy all day. And that's the only reason I didn't react immediately.
Because
immediately I would have backhanded him because he grabbed my elbow. And you don't grab someone without permission. That is extremely rude.
You had a nice pain hump high going on. You're like, oh, yeah.
I was mainly I don't know what's happening.
Where am I? What's going on?
Yeah, so that's the only reason I was able to control myself. So
That is, but like I said, this egg thing is insane. Like, you don't get it. You get, 5 options on a steak? A steak is one of the most expensive things on your menu, and we give you 5 options. Rare, medium, medium well, and well done. And if you order it well done, I'm kicking you out.
Yeah.
We all know this, right? We all know this, but poached. There's...
You want me to go over them
sure.
for you? Because these are the options we have.
Okay.
We have over easy, over medium well, over hard, scrambled soft, scrambled hard, poached soft, poached hard, basted, and sunny side up.
That was 13 egg options. And then omelets. You guys have omelets?
Yes.
14 egg options plus all the deviations within an omelet.
Our omelets
are
made with 4 to 5 eggs each.
Sure.
And they're about this big.
So everybody on the podcast knows
they're like a pillow.
They're like a small pillow. Yeah, I was just about to say, just big enough to strangle somebody with.
And people will be like, wow, and this is what I say to people, and they think it's hilarious. I go, yeah, so if you go into a food coma while you're eating, you can have something to lay down, because it also comes with 3 pancakes on the side.
Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah, no, if you go to this restaurant, you will not leave hungry. You will probably have extra. And if you do leave hungry, it's your own fault.
Right. That is insanity.
We give you plenty of food, especially for the price, and especially since we make everything from scratch and everything's fresh and everything is as local as possible.
So I think we've covered all the getting to know you, the basics of your experience as a server. So let's dive deep down in the investigative journalism that is the people behind your food. I'm telling you, da 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 da.
And then you gotta have the da 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 da.
Yeah.
It shows up.
Coming up next, the news at 9. Chef Ryan investigates what does a server actually do.
Dirty jobs.
Yeah, dirty jobs. Where was Mike Rowe on this, right?
Yeah.
That's actually the whole purpose behind this entire podcast is I really looked at what Mike Rowe does and I go, I represent an industry of dirty jobs. Let's discuss why what everybody does in the restaurant industry is important and why civilization would collapse without us.
The closest we get to that is undercover boss.
Oh, right.
The closest we
get.
Yeah,
we get undercover boss where the guy who's never worked in a restaurant before has to go make eggs. You call this a basted egg? This is sunny side up and you know it. So we talked about the challenges, but what do you actually do as a server? Obviously everyone knows that you bring food and you fill coffee.
Yes.
But what do you do besides that?
So, as a server, each of us is assigned a side work. So we are, it's something on the line that you are in charge of, mm-hmm. whether it gets low, you fill it. If you have to get some more stock from the back, you do that. and you also have to run food, because if no server is running food, no one's going to get their food. Everyone's just going to sit there and be like, I ordered an hour ago. What's
sure.
happening?
Yeah.
But so we do that. And then not only do we have to take care of our tables, we have to manage their money. We have to make sure we have enough money at the end of the shift. So basic math.
Sure.
You have to be a people person at mm-hmm. the table. So you can't just go up and be like, what can I get you to drink? Are you ready to order? Okay, bye. Like, you have to, like, engage with them.
How important is that customer service aspect?
Extremely. Because if you don't have customer service, you're not going to have returning customers, and your business is going to go out of business.
So you'd say you're important because you're the face of a business, really?
Well, everyone's the face of a business. Like,
oh, no. Chefs are not the face of the business.
No, not the chefs. Everyone in the front of house is the
face. We don't want to even be looked at.
Everyone in the front of house is the face of the business. So as soon as you walk in, you meet the host. And if the host does not have a good personality or... Right. is not smiling or is not in a good mood, you're immediately starting off bad. Then you get seated and you got your server. And if we're not there within a few seconds, I think the last restaurant I work at was 30 seconds. And this one, it's like as fast as you can, basically. Mm-hmm. If you're not greeted soon, then you're going to have an issue. If the manager's walking around, the manager is the face, and like you want to be able to talk to them. And if they're not friendly, then you're not going to enjoy interacting with them. And then there's the bussers as well, who will sometimes pre-bus your table. So if they're not like happy or they're not like interactive, you're not like it. People don't understand how much interaction like actually like makes your food, makes sure. your experience better. Cause like if I go to a restaurant and I have an amazing, the best food I've ever had in my life, but my server was awful and like didn't smile at me and barely talk to me, barely listen to me, didn't really come to my table at all, I'm not going to go back. I didn't have a good experience.
Right. So as a server, you've got a lot of stuff going on. You're not just what do you want to eat? I'm going to bring that to you. Let me fill your drink, right? You're guiding the people through the selection process.
Right. Like if they haven't been there before, I go through the entire menu with them. I call it at the end. I tell them, well, now that I've read you the breakfast Bible, cause it's like, sure. we do have a large menu. Like it's not Cheesecake Factory large, but it's a lot of options. Cause we have a bunch of different types of pancake flavors. We have our specialty pancakes, which are oven baked pancakes. We have omelets, egg, like the combinations, French toast, crepes. Well, so we have a lot of options. So it's a lot of food. So I will go over everything with you. Like I'll go over the entire menu with you. I'll answer all of your questions. I'm also thinking about what I need to get for my three other tables while I'm at your table. And I make four different stops as I'm coming back. So like you have to be a really good multitasker or sure. you're not going to survive, especially in this restaurant, because you also have to go back and make sure you're doing all of your side work back there, because on Sundays and Saturdays, things run out really fast. Like if the syrups are not in the warmer, like say it's full, 5 minutes later it's going to be empty and you have to fill it back up again while you have three other tables that you're dealing with. And they're all probably trying to check out at the same time. So like...
Breakfast is such a different animal than dinner service.
Yes.
It is just like such a different thing because, you know, most places at night you might have four tables. And if you're really strong, I mean like unbelievably strong, I'll give you five. Six, if you've been there for 10 years and you know exactly what you're doing forwards right. and backwards, but like, you're like, oh yeah, I always have a seven table section. I'm doing this, that, and the other. I've always got at least three tables at a time. I'm like, it's like just the amount of sweat there. I'm like, do you just have like a camelback full of Gatorade? Like, you know, oh, I'm good. I'm going, you know?
No, well, I probably drink more water at this restaurant than I have anywhere else. Cause all the other places I've worked had root beer, which is the only soda I drink. This place doesn't have root beer. So I drink water all the time. But like, on Saturdays and Sundays, you have a four table max section, three tables minimum. Cause mm-hmm. we go through a lot. We'll be up to an hour and a half wait by 9 a.m. We're open to 7 to 2:30. So, and we're usually on a wait until like 2 o'clock.
Sure.
So we're on a wait for a long time. So you have to get your tables in and out, but you also have to make that personal connection with them.
Sure.
So like, but during the week we have less people on. So basically we have one server per $1,000 because they want you to ring $1,000 in sales basically. That's
right.
their goal. And so I can have a max of a seven table section if necessary. And so I will have like, three parties of eight people and a party of two people over here and a party of four people. And I've just gotten double sat. Like, so it happens a lot where
24, like, you're seating like 32 people. It's a lot.
That, like, last Wednesday, that happened to
That's
me.
That's like banquet service level of, like,
I had four booths that could seat up to six people, and then 2 4-person tables and a 2-person table. And I was talking to this one table, and I turned around, and all of my tables are full. So then I had to go and talk to all of my tables.
No, what you had to do is go talk to the hostess about what the word double seating, triple seating,
no,
and quadruple seating means.
Everyone came in at once, and the manager sat everyone. Like, because they know that you can handle it. If they know you can handle it, they're going to seat you.
That is...
So,
that is,
and it's
that
really is, nice though, because it makes you money.
No, it does. It does. I'm sorry. I gotta be a restaurant manager here for a second. Here's what I hear when I hear that. I'm also a chef, so I hear the kitchen is in the weeds. They're gonna die, and they're gonna get 50,000 orders all at once. They're gonna cry. And...
But I know how to handle that.
Oh,
you
sure.
Don't ring them all at
no,
once.
You don't.
You go one by one. Like, okay, I have gotten this table and this table's order. I filled up this coffee. I told them I'll be right back, and I go ring in those two orders, and then I get their syrup and butter, and I take it back to their table, and then I go take two more orders.
Okay, then I would trust you with a large section like that, but most servers, in my experience, don't understand that concept. They're just so panicked to put the order in on a touchpad screen to begin with. This is the table. Okay, you got the number. Where is the omelet burger?
Well, see, that is one of the perks about working with a small staff, is they can handle themselves. And they know, you know, they can handle themselves, so you know you can seat them like that. That's what happens with a small staff. And I've only been there 7 months, and they can trust me to do that because
sure.
I know how to ring in an order. I'm not like, I've been the expediter when 50,000 orders come in, and I'm like, we had two orders 2 seconds ago.
Is
like, how did?
I don't know about for you, but expediting, for those who don't know what expediting is where there's the kitchen line. I'm drawing a line with my hands for the podcast. And then you
the
have
window.
People on one side who are the cooks, and they're putting the food into what we call a window. And then the expo or expediter is the person arranging those orders to the tables that they go through and then assigning them to runners or to the actual host and hostess or to the actual servers. I don't know about you, but that's my zen. That is like my moment of zen, and that clarity of mind where everything's moving at 50,000 miles. I feel like I'm finally actualized.
Right.
I can see everything.
I can handle that. Like, the only problems I really have had when I was an expo was, it was when I first started being an expo. So I moved from server to expo, and people don't think you know what you're doing because you were just a server. You don't know how to expo. So they started taking things out of your window. So I literally had to yell at 3 different people, and then people were like, oh, okay, she knows what she's doing.
That's a good way to get slapped.
It was
in my
literally
kitchen.
Like, don't touch that. Don't take it out of the window. It's my food. Don't touch it unless I say so.
And bad
it's
server.
On a tray, and I say I need a runner. Don't touch it unless you ask me first.
That is the truth right there. Okay, so let's move on to the important stuff. So, how do you get paid as a server? As you know, a lot of my audience is international. I'm like Pitbull in that aspect. I'm international. So in the United States, servers get paid tips,
yes.
Right? And you work for tips, and then you get some small amount of wage depending on the state and the municipality.
It's usually half of the minimum wage.
Okay,
right now it's around $3.85. But I never see that. I never get a check,
right?
Basically,
well,
because
that's a good
it
thing.
Goes straight to taxes. All of my salary, hourly pay goes straight to taxes.
So you're literally working for tips at this point.
I'm working for tips. What I clock out with at the end of the day is what I have made that day.
Okay, so if you were listening outside the United States, basically what that means is that we have a wage, let's call it $4 an hour, but because of the way that income tax works, Brynn has exceeded the amount of income tax that she needs to claim for her tips, because she still gets charged income tax on anything you report. And so anything that if you're reporting a wage that's higher than that, you get taxed at a higher rate. And so that's why you're not seeing anything.
Right. And as I completely understand that other countries don't do it this way. I am not the kind of person to be like, what, this person didn't tip me. It's like, yes, because they're from another culture, and that's not how they do it.
Sure.
So I understand that. But one thing that you should do is, if you're going to a different country, no matter if it's someone from the United States going somewhere else or someone coming to the United States, you need to research the culture and research stuff like that. Because I know that it's very rude to overtip in other countries. You're not supposed to tip.
How dare you give me extra money?
They get offended. Like, they don't like it.
Yeah.
But in the United States, that's how it works. So if you come to the United States, you need to understand that that's how we make money. Like if you, buy $50
you're not doing
worth
this for charity.
Of food, right. If you buy $50 worth of food and either tip me like $3 or maybe less, or don't even tip me at all, what people don't understand is I've basically had to pay for you to eat because I have to tip out the busser and I have to tip out my pantry person who's my runner who's helping me throughout the shift. I have to tip them out. I have to give them money based on my sales. And your $50 just cost me money because you didn't pay me, but I still have to pay them.
Okay, so that's actually a good, that's actually an excellent point. So so your tip out percentage is not based on, it's based on gross sales.
Right. So like, say I had $1,000 in sales at the end of the day. I tip this purse, like I tip the bussers 2%
of sales.
And then I tip the, so that's $20 to them. And then I tip the pantry person 1.5%. So that's $15 to them. Mm-hmm. So if three people don't tip me, I have had to pay these two people out of my own pocket because these people didn't tip me, but I still have to pay them.
So it's interesting that you have to tip out these people. And then, cause like you said, it costs you money because the delivery drivers run into the same issue.
Yes.
Of they pay for the maintenance, they pay for the car, they pay for the registration, and then the company doesn't reimburse them. But what's really interesting, and you know, I've been not working in a restaurant for about, you know, like as a restaurant manager for
right.
2 or 3 years now, because there's just no reason to, right? Because
right.
of what I do and,
right.
and all the other stuff I do. But what's really interesting is that it's a micro economy.
Uh-huh.
Once I stepped out for a second there and you were explaining it to me, I was like, holy crap, this restaurant is literally a micro economy mm-hmm. creating jobs and sub wages of these wages that
yeah.
are dependent on a tiered hierarchy. And if you don't participate in the hierarchy,
right.
it doesn't work.
Right.
But if you participate in the system, like if you, you know, in the social value of tipping people as their wage,
right.
it works. So how many people do you, how often, you know, I know that the area that we live in or live and work in St. Louis has seen a large influx of immigrants these days from other cultures who don't understand what tipping is. Do you run into a higher percentage these days of people who don't know how to tip, or do you think people have integrated or?
The place where I work now are really good at tipping.
Mm-hmm.
And like I make a lot of money there, and luckily I don't have to work anywhere else because I do make a lot of money there. And but I have seen in the past, like a lot of people don't understand how to tip because your parents teach you how to tip.
Sure.
And then that's where you learn it from. So
right.
like this is the best way to think about it, of how to tip. We're going to have a little how-to right now. How to tip your server. So.
Take all of your money, give it to them.
No. If you look at the bill, say you have it's $53.18.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to bring out your calculator and do 53.18 times 20. No. Take off the cents and take off the ones. And take that 10 plus whatever. Like, you can just cover up ones and the cents.
Sure.
And multiply that by 2. And that is 20%. And if your server does a good job, tip them 20%. If they've done worse, then you can tip them a little less. But 20% is, like, what we worked for.
Sure.
And if we get more, that's amazing. Like, oh, wow.
That's
okay.
actually a really good
but
technique.
Like, that's the best way to do it, is cover up the ones and the decimal and just multiply by 2 whatever is left. So like if you have a $100 bill, mm-hmm. multiply that by 2, $20 is what you should tip. Because we work hard, especially like in the place, like I understand other places not so much.
Sure.
It also probably doesn't apply to delivery drivers because it's different.
Mm-hmm.
But that's how you should tip a server. And that's what I always do. They start at 20% and then go up and down based on how they do.
Sure.
Like, and I never really tip them. I've never not tipped anyone. But
if it makes
like,
you feel any better, I haven't either.
most
I couldn't believe I could never bring
people,
myself to do it.
Yeah, most restaurant. There was one time when I ordered a pizza. It was an hour late. The guy didn't say anything. I still tipped him because
yeah.
I can't not. But
because well, with a delivery driver, you're not paying for serve. You're not paying for the customer experience. You're
right.
paying for the I brought this to you
right.
out of the goodness of my heart.
Right.
Pay me.
Right. Basically,
this is my
like,
UPS service.
It's the same thing as if you get if you get takeout from a restaurant, don't not tip them, because they just spent that entire time getting your food together, explaining to you what you have. Sure, you're not sitting down and eating, so you don't have to tip 20%, but maybe 5%. Like, say if you had a $50 bill, give them $5. That's fine. Like, but just don't not tip them, because they just spent all this time getting the food ready and cooking it for you and preparing it for you, so you don't have to do it, and that's why you order takeout.
Okay, so I think we've covered how you're paid and payouts and things like that. So, okay, let's discuss what I love to discuss, which is what would happen if your job didn't exist anymore. Not your specific job at your restaurant. But what if there were no more servers in the world? And I have a second part question. Do you think that there are too many restaurants that would be better off not having servers, that have servers and don't actually need them necessarily? So the first question is, what would happen if there were no servers in the world?
Everything would be fast food.
Okay.
You would not get, like, everything would be McDonald's, or you would go up and order your food and go sit down and go pick up your food. Maybe they would bring it to you, but no one would, like, you'd have to fill your own drink.
Right.
You'd have to get your own utensils, get your own everything else. No one would actually wait on you. You would have to do everything yourself.
Do you feel
And you
like...
wouldn't have to tip anyone. So there, if so there you don't want to tip anyone, that's your perfect world. But
how do you feel about the restaurants that do that and then still ask you to tip them? I was at a place like that recently where they literally took the order on a terminal and said, okay, fill out this tip form. Or they didn't say that. They said it much more tactfully. But I was looking, I'm like, you're literally handing me a bagel. Like,
right. Yeah. No, I don't. I don't tip, because you're probably getting a minimum wage.
At the very least.
And that is how you get paid. And if I'm tipping you, maybe you went above and beyond for me. Yeah, I'll tip you. I'll put that in the little tip jar.
Sure.
But if you're not serving me and all you have done is prepared my food, but you are being paid minimum wage to prepare my food, I'm not going to tip you.
I kind of feel the same way. I feel like we have like a tip epidemic in the United States. It was almost like it was almost like something happened right before the recession where money was flowing, and then everyone had money, so like, let's put tip signs so we can just milk everything out of everybody. And then the recession happened and everyone was broke, so then everyone just left the signs out. Like, everyone's like, hey, wait, you know, we can get some tips on this, you know.
And a lot of people who work in restaurants don't understand, like, tips are how servers make their money. So like, if they see that, they're like, I'm not going to tip there. And then they go to a restaurant and they're like, well, I'm not going to tip here either. Like, so it's just, it depends on the place. Like, if I go to McDonald's and there's a tip form, I'm not going to tip them, because they're getting paid minimum wage, but
they're getting paid more than minimum wage at McDonald's.
Well, whatever they're getting, their base pay.
They're getting like 10 bucks an hour.
I'm still only making $4 an hour.
Right.
And then I have to work on making my tips to get up to the same level as them.
Right. So do you, I can't believe I'm going to ask you this. Let's get some investigative journalism here. I feel like we've cracked open this nut. Do you feel like the tip system is a good system, or do you think it would be better to get rid of tips as a society and just go to a flat wage, like 15 bucks an hour?
Well, I feel like that would work in some places, but I also feel like it wouldn't work in some places, because then people wouldn't feel like they have to work for their tips. Like, I've seen servers where if they get an automatic gratuity on a big party, they're not going to work as hard as with someone where they actually have to earn their tip. Like, say I have a party of 8 and it's automatic 18%. Or not, like, I wouldn't, obviously.
Sure.
Like,
no, you would never cut corners.
No, I don't. I treat everyone the same. Literally, even if I know for a fact you're not going to tip me because I've served you before, I'm still going to treat you the same. I'm not going to treat you any differently than I treat these other people. Because, like, that's just what I believe in.
Oh, see, when I used to do delivery driving, we had a policy. And it's called the he who tips the best gets pizza first.
Like, I will take care of my other tables first, but I will still come back and take care of you. Like, I'm not going to go to you first all the time. I'm going to go to this other table where they actually might tip me, and then I'm going to come back to you. But I'm still going to give you good service. I'm not going to, like, treat you terribly because you're not going to tip
me. So you like the tip system. You think for you it works?
For me, it works.
If you had to give props to one person inside your restaurant, like, give them the shout out of their life on the people behind your food, who would you give a shout out to?
Probably the owner, then.
The owner?
Because he now owns two separate locations. We are open Tuesday through Sunday and closed on Mondays, but he works literally every day of the week. He is either at my location or at the other location every single day, working and actually working. Like, he will expedite, he will seat tables, he will run food, he will clean things. Like, he actually is completely invested in this restaurant, and the restaurant that I work on would not be what it is without that.
I think we're very close to wrapping up the interview. You've been fantastic, by the way. So, are you going to stay in the restaurant industry? Are you going to, is it your passion? Is it your love like me? Or is are you going to move on? What are you thinking?
Yes, I love the restaurant industry. And I love the people part of the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. Even if there are a bunch of complaints, like, you can always complain about something. And there are tons of bad guest stories that I could explain and bad customers. But I love the restaurant industry. But I feel like I've settled into it. Mm-hmm. So I will not be remaining in the restaurant industry. I actually just got accepted 2 weeks ago into my master's program in accounting, which I will be taking online. It's a 10-month program. So by March of 2020, I will hopefully have my CPA.
Okay.
So I will be going into accounting instead.
So I get to call you to help me with my taxes.
Yeah.
So I get to just charge you myself.
A ridiculous amount of money because I have my CPA.
Do I need to tip you, though? That's the question.
No, you don't have to tip me. but I will be working on commissions. So,
okay,
I mean.
so that's where you're going. That's what you got going on. Mm-hmm. Are you going, you got any, so you're going to be a CPA, moving out of the restaurant industry. Mm-hmm. Would you say that you really had something, you know, would you say it was special for you, your time in the restaurant industry?
Yeah, I really loved it, and it's really made me who I am. It's really, like, my personality is really good for the restaurant industry because I'm a very outgoing person. I'm happy to talk to strangers, like, and I love serving people. So, like, seeing people smile when I bring them their food, like, that's great. That makes me happy. That's why I wanted to go back to being a server. Mm-hmm. But I have always, like, I was raised to be, like, to be someone who challenges myself constantly. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not one to settle for what I got. Like, that's why I was given high awards for softball, because I worked very hard to keep bettering myself and keep getting better and better and keep pushing myself to be the best player I could be or get the best grades I could be. I'm always one to push myself and go better and better, but since I've already had this experience as a manager, I don't think that's what I'm meant to do. And being a server, I feel like I've settled, so I'm going to try and move on to something else that I enjoy and see if I, like, and push myself that way.
Well, and I think that wraps up all of my questions.
All right.
So, Bryn, you are findable? I don't know. Let's make up words here. Who cares? It's just English. We make up words all the time.
True.
So you can be found all over the internet, and we follow at Storybook Tales.
@Storybook_Tales.
Storybook
T-A-L-E-S.
_T-A-L-E-S. All right. @Storybook_Tales, not T-A-I-L-S,
yes.
Like the dog.
T-A-L-E-S.
Okay. And thank you so much for coming on the show. It was super awesome, and I can't believe we ran out of time and then had to stitch a whole new episode together, which is fantastic. So thank you guys for joining us on The People Behind Your Food. I'm Chef Ryan Callahan. If you're watching this live on Instagram, don't forget to check out my website, chefryancallahan.com. And if you're listening to the podcast on Spotify, Radio Public, iTunes, or Google Play, I'd like to invite you to come check out my Instagram, where I do lots of live cooking demonstrations. I take your questions, and then we do live these live videos every Tuesday. So thank you guys for joining. I'm Chef Ryan Callahan, and I look forward to seeing you guys next time.